Christian, greetings to each and every one of you this morning. In the name of Jesus, I've been tremendously blessed and inspired this morning in the service, and as we looked into God's Word and looked at the inspiration that Caleb brings to us and in our lives today, it certainly, trust, has been an inspiration to each of you. We're here this morning as we come to this part of the service. I guess maybe we could say that the purpose of the service is we're keenly aware of. In many ways, the service this morning was a normal Sunday morning service, but it's also a part where it's also not so normal. And especially as we come to through the Sunday school hour and come to the preaching of the Word, and our minds are probably more focused on the work at hand this morning. And also as we stand on the brink of a new year again, seems like we come to this point, to this threshold, sooner than what we used to. And the years roll around, but here we are again on the brink of 2019. So it causes a person to look back and think back over the last years. The other day I was going through my sermon notes, and I was looking for a sermon that I never did find. But I came across some notes that I had in 1999. I had a Wednesday evening prayer meeting assignment in another congregation on the Christian looking at Y2K. And Y2K, some of you here this morning don't even know what that is. Year 2000. And there was just a lot of stir and a lot of fear and a lot of apprehension and a lot of predictions about what would happen when the clock struck the year 2000, that computers wouldn't be able to calculate time and things would just go into a turmoil. And there were predictions that the world was going to come to an end, and people saved up food. People that never canned food were canning food that year. People were putting up windmills in order to survive when the electric power would fail. People put away cash. Some businesses put away cash and savings so that they could maybe pay their employees that had families and hold them through this time of whatever may happen. And there was just a tremendous amount of fear and apprehension. But here we are today, and we're 19 years later. The startling fact is that if you're under 25 today, you hardly remember anything about that. Some of us are old enough to remember 1987 and the man who wrote the book of 88 predictions, 88 reasons why the Lord would come back in 1988. And even though many of us did not believe that a man would predict the exact time accurately, that proved to be correct. But you know, here we are yet. Here we are. The Lord could have come back in 1988. And in 1988, I would venture to say that most Bible-believing Christians did not believe that the Lord would tarry until 2019. And here we are. And so as we enter into a new year, as the years roll along, on the scenes of the world and the governments and the international scenes, and even right down today into the church scene, I don't know that things have become any more restful than they were back then. There's a lot of turmoil, and there's a lot of questions, and there's a lot of apprehension about what the future holds. So as we think about a new year, and we think about also the work at hand of an ordination, it calls each one of us to look to God and to trust, and to look to His will and to find confidence and rest in Him. And so I'd like to think about that for a few moments this morning, growing in our trust. You may open your Bibles to Psalm 18. As we think about this service, it's a time when our emotions are and feelings are somewhat varied. I was thinking about Brother Cliff this morning and his, no doubt, I didn't talk to him, ask him how he's feeling, but no doubt he's overjoyed this morning to think about a brother to help in the ministerial work. But it's a time when apprehension and insecurity and fear are sort of a normal part of our emotions. We can find those, no doubt, find those emotions here in this auditorium at this moment. There's something about the unknown that really causes us to become unrattled sometimes in any aspect of life. And just not knowing what's there, not knowing the future, not knowing what the facts are, not knowing what God has in mind for us, and that unknown. And this morning, as we think about the prospect of this call of God, it causes us to tremble at times. And there's a sense in which we ought to feel that way. So think about the call of God and the call for the work of a leader. It's not something that we take lightly. And we think about an ordination, it will be something that will bring change, and we cringe from change. I wondered, as I was meditating on this again this morning, if possibly there isn't someone here this morning that's saying to themselves, you know, if only Kirkwood would have never started, we wouldn't have to be going through this this morning. If only... Everything could have stayed just the way it was. We wouldn't need this. We wouldn't be here. We'll look at that thought a little more later on, but the work of the Lord continues on. And the Lord continues to lead. And so this morning, this work is not our work, but it's God's work. And because it's God's work, it's imperative today that we move through this process with carefulness and a sense of seriousness and sobriety. Jesus told Peter, he told his disciples in Matthew 16 and verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And God is building, Christ is building his church. And he said that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so this morning, as the Lord continues to build his church, it's an organization, it's a living church, as Brother Sherwin reminded us already. It's a living church that will go on, and it will be built. And the forces of evil will never overcome and overpower the work of the church and the building of the church. And the question today, as Christ builds his church, he told Peter, I will build my church. I will build. And the question that I'd like to ask each one of you this morning, and especially as brethren, is that are you going to help build the church? Will you be a part of his program to build the church? And it's not just a question for the one or the ones that he may call to go through to be a part of the class. It's not a question for the one he will call, but it's a question for all of us. Will we be a part of the building process as he builds his church? And as the church is built, leaders will continue to be needed. And so I say this morning that a part of good church life is ordinations. A part of good church life is ordinations. Ordination is a time when trust should be strengthened, maybe on two fronts we could say. Number one is that the process and procedures as we move through this work should encourage trust in the church and in the leadership. And so, Brother Sherwin, no doubt, will give an overview of the process, but you've been thinking about this. We come to this point this morning. Again, it's the Lord's work. Christ is the great builder of the church. But this morning, Christ will be looking to you for help. He will be looking to you for names and to nominate brother that God has placed that name in your heart. And I'm sure you've thought about this already, but God does not come to the place where he doesn't know where to go and which way to turn, and so he looks to us. God could do all this himself. But we are a part of the church, and he is looking to us to help in the building process of the church as men, as humans, as men of fallibility. But he is looking to us, and this morning he wants to look to us definitely, and he wants to look to you to help build the church as you share a name that he has brought to your mind. And so as we go through this process, what happens this morning and throughout this coming week is not something mystical or magical, and we are transparent with this work. And so in this process should foster a sense of confidence and trust. And secondly, at ordination time, our trust should be strengthened in God himself. As we see him work and as we see him move today, if there are more than one person named, and as we see God move through the casting of the lot, and even if there is only one person named, we trust it's God's working. We trust God because he is leading, he is directing, and we're looking to him for direction. But if there is more than one and we observe the casting of the lot, our hearts should overflow in thanksgiving and trust in him. I'd like to read a few verses, beginning at verse 1 of Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid, and the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. And then going down to verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. And I also was upright and before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Verse 30 is the text verse. I'm not sure if I mentioned that. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. I believe this morning there are three prerequisites to trust. In other words, three thoughts that we need to have, goals that we need to have, beliefs that we need to make our own if we're going to trust in God. Number one is we need to sense our unworthiness. And that's in all of life. You know how it is. I'm sure all of us as youth and adults today can point back and remember a point in our life when we thought we could handle it on our own and it didn't work. Maybe it was just an idea we had about business or an idea that we had about something that we could accomplish and we thought we could do it. And we remember how unsettling it was when we realized that we were wrong and it didn't work. And as we come to God and as we think about moving through life with Him, if we're going to trust Him, we need to sense our own unworthiness and our own helplessness and our own need of someone else in our life. Secondly, thinking especially of an ordination, we need to see God as being greater than the question that's before us today. The question of who He will call to be the leader. We need to see God as being a God who is greater than that question. A God who has it all in control. It's all part of His plan and His timetable. We need to see God as one who is sovereign. And one who knew this moment. And thirdly, we need to humble our hearts and reach up to Him. Verse 6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God, and He heard my voice." And so, in order to grow in trust, we need to have an humble heart and reach up to Him. I'd like to look at 8 points of growing in trust, and we're going to move through these fairly rapidly. First of all, as we grow in our trust of God, in verse 1, this needs to be our testimony. I will love thee. I will love thee. David had come through a time in his life. He had come through extremely trying experiences, and those experiences weren't necessarily over for him. But he had come to this point in time. If you have a heading in your Bible, it says, "Who spake unto the Lord the words of this song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." It's a psalm of David. It's a testimony of God's work and God's deliverance. And he starts out by saying, "I will love thee. I will love thee." David said that because he came through times when he didn't know if his life would be spared. But he said, "God, I will love thee." And he wasn't just saying this today at this moment because God had spared him and God had delivered him. But that was the psalm, that was David's testimony right in the middle of those experiences. He looked to God because he loved him. "I will love thee." Psalm 116 and verses 1 and 2. "I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him." What does the psalmist say? "As long as I live." As long as I live. And so this morning, as we learn to grow in our trust, let's not love God, let's not give testimony and give reference to the fact that we love Him only when things work out. But let's learn to love Him. Let's learn to extol His name. And let's learn to give testimony of that fact, even when we're in a great test. "I will love thee." God is a good God. He is always good, and this fact and characteristic of God will never change. This morning, as we think about the work at hand today and the somewhat tenseness of this moment, remember today that God's goodness supersedes this moment. God was here before we were. God knew this moment before we did. God knew this moment before we were born. God knew this moment before Brother Sherwin and the ministry talked about this and planned this date today. God was here. And so before we came to the realization that we need someone beyond ourselves, God was here. And he's ready to take us and carry us through these moments because he's already at the moment. And so he today is alone is worthy of our adoration and our praise. I will love thee. And I don't know if this thought fits, maybe it would fit better in another point. But I'd like to also say that trust is a bit of a journey. Trust is a bit of a journey. I believe that in David's experience, even though his writings bear testimony to the fact that he was faithful to God through those experiences, I cannot help but believe, and by his writings and times when he said, I feel overwhelmed. And he felt sometimes like he was like a sheep that was cast down, one that was on its back with its legs sticking in the air, and it wasn't able to get over in its and get back on its feet again without help. There were times when David struggled to understand God's ways and his movings. And so trust is a bit of a journey. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12, when Boaz had met her, as they came into the land of Canaan, and she had found a place among Boaz's workers. And in verse 12, he makes that statement to Ruth, and he says, under whose wings thou hast come to trust. And I see there that Boaz recognized that this experience of Ruth was a journey. And I wondered as she followed Naomi from over in Moab and followed her over to the land of Judah, back to her fathers and back to her family. Naomi had made a commitment. She says, I want to serve your God. But I can't help but believing as they were traveling those miles that Naomi maybe wondered, why am I doing this? And she had come to that point. Trust was a journey. Trust was there were stepping stones to that trust. And it's so it is for us today as well. Trust can be a process. Secondly, growing in trust, we need to believe today that God hears our prayers. Prayer is such an integral part of ordination. It's such an integral part of all of our lives. So we look to God for leading and we look to him for direction. We look to him for physical safety and spiritual safety. We look to him to take care of our youth, and we look to him to protect us from spiritual danger. But especially at a time like ordination, it needs to be a time of extra prayer. Time when we all seek the face of God and we seek the will of God. And we find rest in under the wings of God. And so we need to believe that God hears our prayer. I think I referred to this already in verse 6. But here in Psalm 18 and verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy. In my distress I called upon the Lord. I cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And this morning, so you've come to this point, and as we move through the week and beyond, we must believe that God hears our prayers. We don't know what we will face in this coming year. It was just the same as every other year that we entered into. But God took care of us. He continues to build his church. Those that are faithful have a place in his kingdom, even though across the world, and we never know what the future holds here in America. And because the place of the Christian is not well favored in the place of the world or in society or among a particular government, God is still building his church. and we can be faithful to him. And so we need to look to him for direction and guidance. Through prayer, we feel and sense God's nearness and interest in our lives. Thirdly, God is worthy of our trust. He's one who we can confide in. He's one that we can place our trust in. He's never failing. He always understands each of us. He understands the tasks that he calls us to. He is worthy of our trust. We have words in this psalm such as the rock. He is our rock. He is our fortress. It's a little hard for us to grasp the terminology of defense and war and military as they were used to in the Old Testament and in that dispensation. But David understood how real these hiding places were and these fortresses were. He is a rock. He is a fortress. He is a deliverer. He is a buckler. He's a shield. The word buckler means shield. He's our defense. He's our high tower. We have the word high tower in this psalm. It's a place of safety. I believe the Hebrew word high tower means a cliff. Sometimes, boys like to play king of the mountain. And the person that's up there on top of that pinnacle, he's just got an advantage of pushing the others down as they try to get up. Or picture you're on a hike and there's some boys that got ahead and they're up on the top of the cliff and you wonder, how can I get up there? They are up above. They are at a place that they can oversee those who are struggling to figure out how to get there and figure out the path. And that's maybe a little bit the way it is with God. He's our high tower. He is able to look down and he's able to see our floundering at times. He's able to see our timidness and our apprehensions. He's a high tower. And when we look to him, we can trust that he has it all in control. He tenderly leads us into greater depths of holiness. I want you to notice that in verses 25 and 26. These verses are just a blessing to me. With the merciful, it's those that have decided to show mercy to others. With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. In other words, psalmist here is saying that when we choose mercy as the way we respond to others and the way we relate to others, when we choose the path of mercy, God shows himself merciful to us. And it helps us to understand mercy better and better. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. And so if we are pure in heart today and we are righteous and we are living a holy life, God will help us to understand that path better. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And then in verse 26, at the end of the verse, and with the froward, thou wilt show thyself froward. And I wondered how the word froward fits in with this other thought. This word froward here means to be entwined. And it means to wrestle. I believe the center reference in my Bible has the word wrestle. Maybe yours does too. What is he saying? He's saying that with the merciful I will show myself merciful, and with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with a pure thou wilt show thyself pure. We can understand that. And then he says, and with the, he doesn't use the conjunction but in there, but he says, and with a froward thou wilt show thyself froward. And I'd be interested in your thoughts on this verse. But what I see there this morning is a God that loves us. He cares about us. And when we are floundering, when we are struggling with our commitment and our trust in him, when we're struggling with maybe a commitment to wholly serve the Lord, you know how it is sometimes. We want to be faithful. We want to be Christians. But we struggle with that battle of our own our own carnal nature at times. Maybe we're asked to do something or to not do something and we struggle with it. Are we ready to give it up? And today, God is saying that with the froward, with those who, he's saying, I'm going to wrestle and I'm going to maybe entwine myself around him. And as that individual and as we battle through issues in our own minds and our own hearts, God is saying that I'm going to bring some tension there to help us, to help my people to find the right way and to help them to not just give it up and go out into the world, but to he's going to bring those tensions and those wrestlings into our heart where we debate and we try to consider the two roads. God is worthy of our trust because when we are struggling with our commitment, he doesn't just give up on us, but he wrestles and he helps us to understand and to see the error of our way. And then he says in verse 30 that his way is perfect, it's complete. This morning, the path that God has for this congregation is perfect, it's complete. And he wants to show us that way. Fourthly, in verse 19, we have this picture of him bringing us into a large place. He brought me forth also into a large place. And I don't know exactly what the psalmist had in mind. But you know, sometimes if you're walking a path, and it's the path is narrow and it's rugged, and maybe it's on the edge of a steep cliff, it's not very comfortable. It's narrow and it brings uneasiness to us. And as the path goes along and after a while it breaks open into a large area, you can walk relaxed. You can be there. You can feel secure. You can, you know, when you're in a, and I don't hardly ever have this experience, but you know, if you'd be traveling at night and you're on that narrow path and there's rocks and there's boulders and there's bushes and there's trees and you don't know what's lurking behind. Could be wild animals. It could be a person. And you get into that large open place. You can see what's before you. You don't need to fear what may be 2 feet in front of you. You can see it. It's a large place. And he says that God has brought me into a large place. Over in verse 36, we didn't read this verse. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. In other words, it was a flat area. It was a solid footing. We could look at some other verses in the Psalms that talk about this thought of a large place. But it's a place where we can walk with confidence. Our steps can be sure. It's a place, maybe, as David was referring to, as he thought about this large place from a shepherd's perspective, maybe it was a place of sufficient nourishment. And he could find rest there, and he could find solace there. It brought me into a large place. And fifthly, in verse 19 as well, he says, he brought me forth into this large place. He delivered me. And did you notice this as we were reading? Because he delighted in me. This morning, God is looking down on this congregation, and I believe with all confidence today that God delights in the Leola congregation. He's here. When you delight in someone, what do? When a young man delights in a young lady, in a girlfriend, what does he do? How do you know he delights in them? It's because he does everything within his power to make her happy, and he buys the card that for her that he thinks she will like. He buys the collar flowers that he's pretty sure that she's going to like. And as they learn to know each other better and better, he learns to know the things that she likes and the things that she doesn't like. And he wants to do everything he can to please her because he delights in her. This morning, God delights in his children. He delights in you as a congregation. And as you think about an ordination, if God delights in this congregation, he is going to give you exactly what you need. And he's going to lead and direct in this so that this congregation's delight in the Lord can be fulfilled. He looks down with fondness, and therefore we can move through this work with confidence that God will lead and reveal his will with our best in mind. And number six, in verse 28, God grants light, and he grants enlightenment to our pathway. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. God doesn't want us to be in darkness today. He wants to lead us in light and direction, and we can trust him through the coming year because he's giving us light. Number seven, we have this in verse 29, and this is a precious thought. Notice what he says, for by thee, he says, it's because of you, God, that I have run through a troop. Now, in my Bible, this word run says it means broken through. I have broken through a troop. And this word troop means a large company of people. Now, some of us are at the age where we can't even run very fast anymore. We got petered out pretty quickly. But David says that God is one who had helped him to run through a troop. And even a young person thinking of being able to run through a group of people and be able to make it through to the other end. It's just like if all of these men would you know, stand in this middle aisle and one of these young fellows would say, I'm just determined to break through this troop. There's no way he would get through. There's no way. Not the strongest of these young men. Listen this morning. There are tasks ahead of us at times that seem overwhelming and impossible. And God wants to help us to be able to do the impossible. He calls us to work at times that the fact of the matter is it is impossible for us to do his work in our own strength. And so this morning as we learn to trust him, he gives strength for the impossible. And number eight, there is safety when we trust in him. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler. He is a shield. He brings safety to those who trust in him. And so this morning we need to choose to trust him. May God bless each of you as you trust him, as you learn to trust him more in this coming year. As you learn to trust him more in this coming week, God delights in us, and he wants to be our buckler and our shield. So I sat down this morning, I saw the writing up on the board, and so I'd like to leave these words with you in closing. In trying moments, trust him. Let's kneel for prayer.